with Crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Five in a row. The kid's going to be all right. 4-2, the Brewers win over the Cubs. Don't forget to pay your tolls. Wow. This is fun. This is really fun. Brewers have now won four consecutive against the Cubs, going back to their last series against them here a month ago. Jackson Churio hits a grand slam. Colin Ray delivered. He pitched very well today. The bullpen has now thrown 16 2/3 consecutive scoreless innings. This team is built. Man, this is what a run. I'm sitting here just kind of impressed isn't a strong enough word. Because, look, when we all saw the projections come out at the start of the year, and the Cubs were ahead of the Brewers in every single one of them, and obviously the baggage of counsel going over there and all the hoopla that comes with that. But the Brewers just played a top-notch quality every facet of the game. Yes, I know they only scored four runs with the grand slam. Jameson Taillon, that was really the only mistake he made tonight. We'll break down that fourth inning for the Brewers. But the Brewers, when they play quality baseball, the standard is so high. And this isn't trying to knock the Cubs while they're down. But I'm just saying the standard, and this is borrowing a line that Craig Counsell used to say, the standard has been raised here in Milwaukee. And the fact that they can go with just two runs from Colin Ray, working into the sixth inning, hand it to Elvis Peguero, then to Jared Koenig, then to Trevor McGill, and not even blink. Okay, I mean, Peguero acquired in a trade for Hunter Renfro. Renfro is not with the Angels organization anymore. Then you go to Jared Koenig, played in virtually every indie ball. He played in Australia, played in New Zealand. I mean, two teams have had a chance at him. He was in the Padres organization. He pitched in the big leagues with the A's, and now he's throwing 98. Then you go to, you had Yoel Piamps warming, who's been claimed off waivers four different times and released by the Rockies, and he's been a journeyman himself. Then you go to Trevor McGill, who's a former Cub, mind you, and also was traded by the Twins last year for cash. I mean, it's just like the Brewers find value. Not only do they find value on the margins, they develop that value into what we see tonight. Every single guy had something to do with tonight's game, and then Churio comes through in the big moment in the fourth inning with a 1-2 count, mind you. A 1-2 count and two outs. And we talked about it on Brewers warm-up today. How he has been facing better pitching. He is not chasing. He is not swinging and missing nearly as much. And boom, quality contact. Line drive to left, just beyond Ian Happ's glove. Home run. Just so much fun to play this brand of baseball. And look, are things perfect? No. Starting rotation still has some questions, but they're getting better. But you can let your mind wander when Garrett Mitchell returns, when Devin Williams returns, when Joe Ross returns. They're not going to get worse. You're at a season-high 16 games above 500, and you're officially downhill. You're past the halfway point. Tonight was game number 82. You're officially counting down from here. 80 to go. It's feeling real now. It's getting closer and closer to feeling real. 4-2, the Brewers win over the Cubs. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620. You can text in, you can call in, hang out with us. We're going to 11 o'clock. Craig Kishon's going to join us a little bit later on in the program here tonight. As we go to the first break, let me give you the stat with Jackson Churio's home run, with his grand slam, I should say. 20 years old, 109 days. Here are all the players his age or younger to hit a grand slam. So again, 20 years and 109 days. Some really good company on this list. You've got Harmon Killebrew, Al Kaline, Tony Conigliaro, teenager with the Red Sox back in the day, Veda Pinson, four-time All-Star, and Jose Reyes. Reyes, the most recent to do it, in 2003. It's been 21 years between Churio and Reyes to be that young and hit a grand slam. And it was all the Brewers needed offensively tonight, thanks to their fantastic pitching staff, Colin Ray and company. Let's talk about the pitching, because that's, I know Churio hit the grand slam, but to me, that's the story of today's game. What do you think? 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank, with a local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank National Association, member FDIC. More to come after this on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win 4-2 over the Cubs. Game one of a three-game set, the last time the Cubs are here at American Family Field this season. I'm Dom Catronio. A couple of texts here, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. How much do you think Cubs fans love Craig Counsell now? Laugh out loud. I don't think it's Counsell's fault right now. Let's be honest, guys. I mean, all of his leverage relievers, aside from Hector Neris, are injured right now. You know, it'd be what the Cubs are dealing with right now is if Trevor McGill, Devin Williams, Yoel Piamps, and let's say Jared Koenig, and Brian Hudson for that matter, let's throw Hudson in over Koenig. We're all injured right now. And Jared Koenig will be closing games. Now, that's not a bad thing from the Brewers' perspective, but it just gives you an idea of what they're missing in the bullpen. And the bullpen wasn't even the reason they lost today. The reason they're losing games is their offense. But on the flip side of that coin, okay, well, is it their offense being bad or your pitching being good? I like the side of your pitching being good, because Colin Ray, it was all just one inning for him, and I thought he was tremendous tonight. I really do. Colin Ray, new season high, 8 strikeouts, 5 1/3, 3 hits, 2 runs that were earned, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts, and 1 home run, a solo shot. You look at it for Ray, the big reason he couldn't go deeper is he had to use so many bullets in the first few innings. I mean, he was at 70 pitches through 4 innings. The fact that he still got to the 6th inning, I thought was really, really vital for him. In that 4th inning, those were all 3 of the hits that he allowed today. That's it. Yes, he had a few walks and a couple of hit batters, and the real hit batter that he wants back is when he hit Christopher Morel with 2 strikes to keep that inning going. And then eventually Swanson hit the RBI single as the next batter. That also came with 2 strikes. But there are two things that are obviously really important to get strikeouts. Number one, it's getting ahead. And number two, having a multitude of pitches that you have command of. And Ray had that tonight. And the sinker seemed to be the pitch to me that really jumped off the page for Colin Ray. Of the 8 strikeouts that he had tonight, 3 of them were on the sinker, 3 of them were on the 4-seam fastball, 1 was on a cutter, and 1 was on a slider. He is a guy that wants to mix and match and keep you on your toes and keep you off balance. And when he's getting swings and misses on those pitches that are intended to be just missing the barrel, like, he's okay with contact on those pitches, but the fact that he's able to get guys to swing and miss on that gives you an idea of he was locating where he wanted to. He wants the cutter back to Seiya Suzuki, and he wants the pitch he threw to Ian Happ back for the double. But those were the only really, really well-hit balls of the night. He got 2 double plays when he really needed them, one of the first and one of the fourth to end that inning. And for Ray, this is just, I know it's not a quality start, but it's the Colin Ray special. He worked into the 6th. He gave his bullpen a chance. He exited with the lead. It's his 7th win. We don't really care about pitcher wins anymore. But, you know, you ask some people around baseball, it still matters a little bit, because it means you pitched long enough to give your team a chance. And it sounds like a little thing to ask, but it's the truth. It's just a different era these days. You can get through 5. You can get into the 6th, especially with how much this bullpen is being used. It's very important. I mean, now he's at 87 innings this year, Colin Ray is. In theory, he's going to blow past 150 innings probably. And he's going to be well past his career high in innings, which was last season, 124, at least career high in innings stateside. Colin Ray, I called my shot in spring training. I said, this guy's the most important starter on the team, not named Freddy Peralta. And I think he can pitch. I think he's more than a five and dive. Tonight, his pitch count was high, which is why they removed him. But I loved what I saw from Colin Ray this evening. In the bullpen, man, I want to give a shout-out to Elvis Peguero, too. Elvis, his first few outings, remember, with inherited runners, they were not pretty. He was not good at putting out flames. Each of the first nine inherited runners he had this season all scored. But now, including tonight, each of the last six inherited runners he's had, none of them have scored. He is making an adjustment. He is getting back on track. He got some poor base running help from Cody Bellinger on a double play in the sixth. But then he got a little bit of traffic there in the seventh, had some bad luck on the play with the bunt by Mastroboni, and then the Rhys Hoskins maybe ranging a little too far to his right to make that play, and it turns out to be an infield single. But the trust to be able to say, all right, we'll hand it to Jared Kanick, and didn't even use Brian Hudson tonight, who probably needed another day of recovery. No problem for Koenig. He gets the fly out to Wisdom and then strikes out the side in the eighth inning. So you have Pyops available tomorrow. I imagine McGill will be available on a back-to-back tomorrow. You'll have Hudson available tomorrow. You'll probably have Koenig available tomorrow. They're in great shape with their pitching staff and with their bullpen with 16 and two-thirds consecutive scoreless. Let's get to the phone lines, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Darren from Bayside, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, so the great game by the Brewers, loved it. You talked about Council, their issue is their offense and with Cubs. Well, isn't that a pattern for him? Like, there's something about Craig Council that he doesn't elicit hitting. Like, there's something about his team that don't do well. And it's funny, once he left the Brewers, all of a sudden we start hitting too. I don't know what is it about him. His pitching is great. The bullpen is great, but people don't hit around him, and I think it's because he's so controlling with what he does that I don't know, it just creates tension and batting is about see the ball, hit the ball. And I love Pat Murphy. I love the way the Brewers are playing. We've owned them, and I don't know. I like the Brewers. I like the way they play. They're very aggressive. It's just really exciting team to watch, and I think this what you're seeing from the Cubs is exactly what the Brewers suffered through for all those years with Craig Council, is that the teams just don't score.
I don't think it's totally his fault there, Darren. I see what you're saying, where it's like it can't be a coincidence if it lands that close to home. But I as I've said before, the manager can't hit. Like, the manager's not up there swinging. And also, it's a personnel thing. I see the Brewers, they got better hitters this year. I mean, they made a point to go get Rhys Hoskins. They believed in Bryce Terang's quantum leap. William Contreras, another year under his belt in the big leagues. We forget, this is only William Contreras' fourth, and that's even putting air quotes around it, fourth full season in the big leagues. You could really argue it's his third full season in the big leagues. So he's getting more experience under his belt. And to have the youth on this team surrounded by Adamas, it's just a different personnel group. And to be honest, Rowdy Tellez underperformed last season. You look at the Jesse Winker failure of last season, and now Winker has turned it back on for the Nationals. I think it's a personnel thing. And look at what the Cubs are dealing with right now. Horner has lost a lot of power. Morel is having a great year, but it is kind of hit or miss. Bellinger has lost a little bit of power. There's nothing wrong with his numbers, but I don't think it's the manager's fault for the Cubs. It becomes a contagious thing. We've seen this with the Brewers. Even earlier this season, they had stretches where they couldn't hit. Think about that last road trip and the week before that where they couldn't get hit with runners in scoring position. Bad offense and good offense are both contagious. And it just sticks, and you feel the pressure, and you feel it, and it's just, you can't get through. I don't think that's totally on the manager's fault, but it is fun to win. You're absolutely right about that, Darren. Appreciate the call there as well. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620 is the number. This question's a good one. I'll talk about it in the next segment. This one from the 847 area code. What is Jackson Chourio's ceiling? I knew it was high, but I'm starting to think it could be something really special. We'll talk about that with Craig Kishon coming up next here on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Fun one tonight at the yard. Brewers win 4-2. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Craig Kishon is with us now from Bally Sports, Wisconsin. Craig, the question that was read just before I brought you on here was, what is Jackson Chourio's ceiling? I knew it was high, but I'm starting to think he could be something really special. And this is a perfect example of why you play 162 games and why they wanted him on the opening day roster. They wanted him to learn. They wanted him to fail. And don't take that out of context, right? Because learning to fail and then getting better from it and improving from it can only happen in the big leagues. And in the month of June, Craig, we have seen a lot of growth and a lot of development from Jackson Chourio.
Yeah, it's really been something to see, Dom, especially when you think about how most players are brought up. They're given an opportunity at the big league level, and then if they struggle a little bit, most of the time they're sent down to, you know, give you a break from major league pitching, if you're a hitter in this case, and then you straighten out your game, you learn some things, you gain a little confidence, and you come back knowing, hey, I've been here. Now I know what things are feeling like in the whole experience. So different in his case, where he hardly played any AAA baseball at all. We all know that storyline coming in, but obviously this organization thought so highly of him that he didn't need to, and he would be just fine going through the ups and downs on the major league level. And, you know, just – what more can you say about the read and the relationship that they have with certain players and how special this kid is to have them not only give him the opportunity, but they gave him the money because they're that confident. I mean, things like this just don't happen very often at all. They're so singular. And so far, it's working out probably as scripted. I don't think anybody thought that this kid was going to be a superstar right out of the gates, but I'm sure they saw a potential superstar in the making, and maybe that's what we're starting to see a little bit of now here in the month of June.
So Chourio, in the month of June, reading his numbers back to you, a .318 batting average, a .361 on-base percentage, a .545 slug, which all equals a .906 OPS. As I look at this list of guys that he's hitting better than in the month of June, let me just try to find some household names here that you may recognize. Vlad Jr., Kyle Schwarber, Marcell Ozuna, Adley Rutschman, Eli De La Cruz. He's got better numbers than all those guys I just listed. And it's 1 month. We're not going to freak out about 1 month. But then you remember he's 20 years old, Craig. You have sons that are like his age, and could you imagine older and young? Yeah. I mean, like, could you imagine, like, being 20 years old in Major League Baseball facing a guy who's been in professional baseball for more than a dozen years in Jameson Taillon? I mean, this, when you put it in simple terms, this is incredible what he's doing.
It really is, and I think the really cool part about this scenario with Jackson is we can see his growth. I mean, we all, and I know a lot of the listeners, you know, watch as much as they can. Some watch every day. And this is kind of the cool part. We've seen his growth, and we know what's out there. There's so much more. So to do what he's doing at his age, if he was only my third son, I'd be, you know, elated with that. But I've got two good ones already, so I'm not going to complain about that for sure. But it is something to see, though, at age 20. And, you know, I was just talking to Vinny off air, I think, when we were done with the postgame show, just about, you know, what were the couple of points that the turning points for him. And I really think, you know, the whole argument of whether he should have gone after that ball down to Miami in right field, and the, you know, they had a talk with him. You saw his defense improve, taking some chances, getting out there and doing some things, and just realizing, you know, yes, you can do it out on the field. Yes, you're going to do it at the plate. That's why you're here. But just the fact that he, you know, he went through a pretty long offensive slump, and they kind of took him out of the lineup for a pretty good stretch. And Murph just mentioned tonight, you know, the kid didn't complain at all. He understood. And they weren't going to send him down, though. They were going to help him through it. And I think that's the biggest thing. And I've said this numerous times. Not every player in sports gets the type of support from the organization, the coaching staff, and teammates the way I have seen what they're giving him here in Milwaukee this year. I think it's exceptional, and kudos to these guys for being able to figure out how important that is for such a young guy.
And the question being, what is his ceiling? I mean, the reason why you do the deal that they did for him is because the ceiling is ridiculously high. It's going to be hard to attain that full room, to fill that whole thing up. But if you can sit here and think about, with all this learning and all this happening, all these veterans around him, what's it going to look like in 4 years, you know? And what's it going to look like when he puts a little more weight on his body? He's not done growing. He's 20 years old.
No.
You let your mind wander. You try to, you know, pace yourself here. But it's like, yeah, you see it now. And a lot of folks were confused in April. And I don't blame them. It wasn't that pretty at the start of the year. But, man, you're starting to see what the folks saw in Biloxi. You're starting to see what the folks saw in Carolina 2 years ago. He's coming. And he's coming fast.
Yeah, and I kind of like what you said there, too, about how the minor league system teams said, look out for this guy. I almost think back, too, of when Bryce Terang was coming along at all his minor league stops, and how the same thing was said about him. Look out for when this guy gets to play every day and start succeeding. And we saw him go through his struggles last year. He was sent down to AAA. He handled it. And he's back this season like a completely different guy, going from a rookie to an incredibly seasoned veteran. So there's two pretty special guys. If you think about what's happened here in the last season plus, tremendous, tremendous.
All right, we'll get some more texts here. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Back with more after this on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
I'm Dom Catronio. Craig Kishon is with us as well. Going to the top of the hour here on WTMJ. Let me get to a couple of texts with you here, Craig. This one from Pat down in Lansing, Iowa. As Joe Garagiola once said, baseball is a funny game. The crew went weeks being unproductive with the bases loaded, and suddenly they're a grand slam machine. Four of their last five plate appearances, of course, have ended in grand slams after having only one in their first, I believe it was 76. I should know. I came up with that stat. I mean, we were talking about all the trouble with bases loaded earlier in the year, and I know San Diego's got Slam Diego. We got to come up with a nickname for the Brewers hitting so many grand slams all of a sudden.
Well, that's actually a good one. I don't know if you can incorporate the sausages in there or not, but we'll work on it, right? I mean, we've got something to work with here, which is pretty amazing. As you mentioned, for the last, six games, for the last five opportunities with bases loaded. And then you look at the guys doing it. You know, you get Terang hitting the grand slam. You got Hoskins and then Bowers. And now you got Churio hitting the grand slam, following up his inside the park home run as well. That's another tremendous tool that, you know, all comes with this young rookie. A little power and, of course, a lot of speed as well. But they need this right now. I mean, They're at a point where they suffered by not producing with – you don't get many opportunities like this, but when you start adding them up like you're talking about, Dom, at some point in the season, things are going to start going your way. You're going to start being able to dial in, and you're going to focus differently, and I'm sure that's what's happening with this club here right now. And they're not letting these opportunities go by tonight. They needed that grand slam, as it turned out. It was their four runs in this 4-2 win.
Another texter asked, Josh in Milwaukee asked, another great win to start the weekend. Donnie Noe, when was the last time that any team in baseball has had this sort of streak with grand slams in such a short period of time? So it's four grand slams in six games. The Padres and the birth of Slam Diego, they had five grand slams in the span of six games back in 2020. But a good question there as well. Jeff from Elkhorn, the Brewers just keep finding ways to win. The defense and bullpen have been incredible, and a healthy Yelich makes all the difference. The trade deadline will be interesting. Need another left-handed bat? You can never have enough pitching. I agree with especially those last two statements there. And I'm glad he brought up Yelich, because here's the thing. Yelly was 0 for 4 tonight. In fact, the top four hitters today, they were a combined 1 for 11 with a walk. Is if I'm reading this right, 1 for 11 with a walk and a run scored on a fielder's choice.
Yep, I believe you're right.
It's coming from somewhere different every night.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something, isn't it? It really is, because, look, I mean, you can just look up and down this lineup here right now, and I was doing this before the game. Just looking at the Brewers lineup here tonight versus the Cubs lineup. And, you know, I hate to bring this up, but here's the thing. The Cubs right now, if you just look at what they put out there tonight, I'm not even going to name names. I'll just throw out these averages from the number five spot on down. 228, 201, 217, 200, and 194. I mean, that was kind of what the Brewers offensively had been producing the last few years. And now those times obviously are changing and going away. And now you're hitting your grand slams. Now you're getting on base. Now you've got certain players that are growing with the game, like William Contreras has, like Bryce Turang has. Willie Adames is having a better season. And we know where Christian Yelich is here right now. So, you know, the addition of Rhys Hoskins has been pretty good. But I have a feeling, you know, he's going to have a big second half. So you could go on and on. We talked about Churio already. And Blake Perkins has had his moments as well, and so Sal. So you know you're going to get some other contributors along the way. We only entered the first game of the second half here, so I'm sure everyone's looking forward to some bigger and better things even.
I mean, not to get really deep into this, but the Brewers' main competition right now in the Central is the Cardinals. They're the only other team above 500. They won again tonight. They're three games above 500. The Reds, I can't figure them out. I thought they would be better than this. They're not. The Pirates can't hit. Yes, they've got Skeens, Jones, and Keller. They can't hit. And I look at the rest of the National League. The Brewers are undoubtedly one of the best teams in the National League. And I know the Mets are a different team now. They swept them. They have a chance to win the season series with a sweep against the Cubs this weekend. That will be another team that some folks counted them down against. They won a series against the Red Sox. I know they had their trouble with the Padres, but they're playing better as of now. They won a series against the White Sox like they were supposed to. They won a series against the division leader in the Seattle Mariners. They beat up on the Tigers. They beat up on the Blue Jays. Like, they're playing good baseball. And look, it's downhill now. It's real. Like, every game sort of starts to ratchet up intensity from now until September, and you blink, and it's going to be a pennant race with these Cardinals.
Yeah, if you're a good team, you hit that stretch of separation, and we've seen that stretch of separation already by Milwaukee, but I think we haven't seen them really put it into drive and maybe even cruise control, if you will. And I think we could be seeing this stretch here right now where like you said, Dom, there are different heroes every night. There's different groups in the batting order a different night. There's numerous different starting pitchers that somehow, when given an opportunity, are holding things together very nicely for a positively incredible bullpen. So, there's still some room to improve. There's no question about that. But they're to me, they've been the team to beat. But I think they're really proving more of that right now. And I quite honestly, I didn't see the Cardinals as being the second place team in this division. I thought the Cubs could be that team, especially the way they started out pitching at the beginning of the year. But their offense and their their base running mistakes. It's too much for this team to be a winner at this point.
Well, it's just one game. They got a tall task tomorrow with Justin Steele going up against Tobias Myers. So it should be a fun one to talk about with you once again tomorrow. Craig Kishon here on WTMJ. You've seen a lot of them. These have been fun these last month or so with the Brewers. Can't wait to talk about another, hopefully another win tomorrow. Thanks, Craig.
All right, Dom.
All right. Well, Doug on the line, I see you. I got to get to a break. I'll get to you on the other side of the break. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. We'll hear from Doug and Baraboo, and we'll also hear from Pat Murphy coming up after the break on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win, Brewers win. Grand slam from Jackson Chourio. Great work from the bullpen once again as well. 4-2 the final. Over the Cubs. I'm Dom Catronio. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you in part by Sauter Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Thunderstorms can happen at any time in Wisconsin, as we're seeing this week. As an authorized Generac dealer, Sauter Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical can save you up to $1,500 on a whole home generator. Visit Sauter, Sauder.com today. All right, as promised, Doug and Baraboo, you are live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Yeah, good evening. Going back to what you and Craig were talking about, players, one guy that I find is a very interesting person is Andre Monasterio. And I don't think he gets a lot of a talk. Obviously, he got the walk-off on Wednesday. But I'm going back to last year, and this guy just does about anything you ask of him. He did play in 92 games. He was close to .260 batting average, and his fielding is excellent. He'll play second, third, or fourth. This guy just seems to be a guy that just loves to play. You might have more insight. He must have been in high school when the Cubs signed him back, 10 years ago or something?
And
he doesn't care what he's doing. He wants to play baseball.
And that's what he said on Wednesday after the game there, Doug. He was like, look, I'll do whatever it takes because, man, being in the big leagues is a lot better than being in the minor leagues. And it's an unsung role, right, being the last guy on the bench, but his ability to be a utility player, he's willing to pick up a first baseman's glove. He's willing to go to the outfield. He's willing to play second, to play third, to play short if needed. He will do anything to stay in the big leagues and to get his opportunity, which is what we saw last season from Andre Monasterio, right? When you think about it, when the Brewers could not figure out what was going on at third base, he flat out outperformed Luis Urias, and it led to the Brewers trading Luis Urias and the guy that they traded for, Bradley Blaylock, made his big league debut last week in San Diego. I mean, there was a stretch there with Andre Monasterio. At the start of the second half, he actually played in 34 consecutive games, and he hit league average over that stretch. It's a really impressive stuff. Again, a former Cub prospect. He's from Venezuela. I actually saw Andre in the minor leagues in High A with Myrtle Beach. Brian Hudson was on that team as well for the Myrtle Beach Pelicans. I was with the Down East Wood Ducks back in the day. But good call out there for Andre Monasterio for what he has been able to do. He had a double today as well. Let's get to John in Sheboygan. John, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, Dom, thanks for taking the call. Huge fan back to your Locked On Brewers days.
Thank you.
The question relates to the trade deadline and tempering the drastic enthusiasm that we're experiencing now, 15, 16 games over 500, another great win over the Cubs involving Chourio, the young star, having the big moment. This is as good as I've felt about a team at this point in the year in a long time. You think back to the 2021 team when we had the best pitching in baseball, I think, indisputably. That may have been a prior moment to really go for it at the deadline, make some decisions that will, hurt in future years, but it's worth it for a real shot at a championship. And it seems like, although this team has different needs, this team needs help in the starting rotation. I just wonder how all in they should be at the deadline versus, sticking to the bites at the apple principles that have guided them for so long.
It's a good question. I think they're going to, first of all, I don't see the Brewers ever going quote-unquote all in. And I agree with the vibe of that 2021 team is the vibe I feel of this team, aside from the starting pitching. And that was a incredible season of starting pitching. Obviously, Burns won the Cy Young. Hader was reliever of the year. And you had Devin in the eighth. You had Boxberger in the seventh. I mean, you look at that team, the moves that they had made in 21 to get better. I mean, that's obviously when they signed Willy Adames. They made that trade, sending J.P. Fireisen and Drew Rasmussen. They made the trade near the deadline. Didn't really click that much for the Brewers in trying to get some bullpen help. They got Trevor Richards, or they had got Trevor Richards in the Willy Adames deal, flipped him for Rowdy Tellez, which turned out to be a really important deal. By the way, in 2021, know who they drafted in the first round that year? Sal Frelick and Tyler Black. And they were the 15th and 33rd picks. The Brewers know what they're doing in the draft. And oh, by the way, they'll get their first round pick, their competitive balance pick, their second round pick, and the trade they received from the Orioles this year, too. So they've got four picks coming up in July. So I just sit here, I'm like, yeah, I agree. I think they're going to put one foot in each bucket and say, let's not expense the farm for no reason. But at the same time, understand, if you can get a young, controllable pitcher, somebody with multiple years of control, it could be worth it. The problem is, they don't grow on trees, and there aren't many available. Jesus Luzardo's on the injured list right now. Garrett Crochet has a long list of elbow issues in his past and shoulder issues in his past. Eric Fetty would only be one more year. You'd make a big splash and go get Chris Bassett, which would be a bigger dollar amount to commit, and he gets one more year on the tack end of that. Maybe you do some negotiating with the Blue Jays and that sort of thing. So I do think they're going to try, but they're not going to go, quote-unquote, all in to go get Garrett Crochet or go get Jesus Luzardo. I don't think the market is strong enough for that because, mind you, you're going to get Woodruff back next season. You would imagine that D.L. Hall should continue to improve. He's been being built back up. Hopefully get Chris Hook. Another texter said give a shout-out to Chris Hook. Absolutely would. Those are things to think about with the Brewers. Up against break, got to take it. Up, coming up on the other side, we'll hear from Pat Murphy. Brewers win 4-2 on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
1-2. Swing and a fly ball to left. It is back to the wall. Gone! Churriard grand slam, and it gives the Brewers the lead. Great moment, as called by Jeff Levering here on WTMJ. It's all the offense the Brewers needed tonight. They avoided the shutdown inning in a big way. All the action was in the fourth inning. Pat Murphy had some thoughts about this one, too. Here's what he had to say after the win over the Cubs.
Yeah, no doubt. You've watched it. You know, the kid is learning, and he's made the most of his opportunities lately, and this month. Every month got better. April started good, but then you could see exposure. Beginning of May, exposure, and then he got some time off. He bobbed and weaved a little bit, and then finished strong that month. And then this last month, he's really been pretty consistent and played, I don't know, what are we playing him, 70% of the time? And yeah, I think it couldn't have been better. Credit to my staff and credit to a bunch of people that have been in his life, to Willie and William and Freddie, and for all the guys that are supported him throughout this time. You know, our training staff, our sports psych staff, everybody, just supporting the kid to get to this point, to keep moving forward. He's got a long way to go, but man, you can see why our people decided to sign him long term.
Was he taking us inside the room at all when you had those talks with him where the playing time, you know, went down a little bit?
Never complained. Never shook his head and said, why me? Never was disgusted. Never lost his effort. Never stopped working. That's what's beautiful about it, you know, and that's the support of his teammates. You know, his teammates, and again, you talk about Willy Adames, Contreras, these people, Freddie, these people, Nestor, Corridor on our staff, these people continue to encourage him. He's from a great family, and he's got family around him. Continue, everybody on the same page. He's going to get there. He's going to get there. So, you know, he's going to have ups and downs. We know how baseball, how tough it is, but yeah, he's been really great in the last 2 weeks. It's been wow.
You know? What's it been like for you, just kind of watching him grow like as the youngest kid on the roster, is growing like this?
You know, all my years of doing like college baseball, you know what I mean, you saw guys grow from year to year to year, but you didn't see it in the middle of the year because we only played 60 games. So it's like when you see it happen, you know, right in the middle of a season, from where he was in spring training to where he is today, it's like, wow. What possibilities, you know, guys can make that type of leap. That's the fun part. You know, how many games do we win? And our three guys in the middle of the order don't, even though William Swain's back great, and he caught an incredible game, but our guys in the middle of the order don't get hits, you know, big hits. You know, how many games have we won without William or Willie or Christian getting big hits, you know, and lately it's been a game with some other guys doing some things, so it's kind of cool.
You guys have hit those four grand slams now in a week, and every time it's been a different guy who's had the big swing. What does that just kind of say to you about the makeup of this group, and is it just kind of inspiring confidence that you have guys up and down the lineup who can just kind of have you one swing away no matter when it is?
Yeah, I mean, it's encouraging that guys are just, you know, they're hungry. That's the best way I can say it. You know, they're hungry. They love playing. They love the game. They're always helping each other. We're not perfect. I mean, we're not great. We're not perfect. But, you know, to see them help each other and see them be excited for Churio, you know, and it's a beautiful thing. As a coach, it's a beautiful thing, you know. And, yeah, it gives you hope that there is still that teammate concept in baseball, you know.
Murphy, the other guy stepped it up in the bullpen. Was Hudson down today?
I wouldn't say he was down. I was hoping to have him be down, but, you know, we've taxed Koenig pretty good, man. The kid is – Mike just gave me a stat because Mike always has incredible stats, 22 inherited runners, and he's only given up 4. If you could footnote that, that's Mike Fasalo, one of the greatest media personnel.
How about that? Giving him a compliment. Normally he tries to tear him down at the end of press conferences. That is a great note about Jared Koenig. We'll preview tomorrow after this. Brewers win 4-2 over the Cubs on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Final segment here. I've only got a few minutes left here on the show. A couple of texts that made me smile. This one saying it's Cerveza Grande from Christopher in Rockford, Illinois, referring to the Grand Slams. This one, Jordan the Manitowoc said, how does Pat's bat sound with the recent Grand Slam success? This one from Bob, if we have consistent starting pitching, the Brewers can't compete with any team. I agree with that as well. And also, like we said, give some props to Chris Hook. The way he has handled this pitching staff, both starters and relievers, is nothing short of amazing. Also, a shout-out to Jim Henderson and to Walker McKinven as well in that same vein. Tomorrow, we are on the air at 2 for a 3:10 first pitch. I've got you covered for Brewers warm-up. Justin Steele against Tobias Myers. My thanks to Matt Yazel, our producer. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.